Let's just read from verse 1. In Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. It's like the father speaking to his son. We can take it as our Heavenly Father speaking to us. He says, do not forget my teaching. I think that's why we need to come to him every day and renew our minds, because like a child, we can forget things that he's told us about, and then when we go through our day and we just get caught up in the different cares of life and the different things, we can forget what, like Tim was sharing, he wants us to seek first his kingdom. You go through and you set your priorities, and then you realize what's important. And if we miss it, and if we miss what he's teaching us, every day we forget to hold fast his word and live in the Spirit, to have the mind of the Spirit. That's the only thing that pleases God, is to be able to live in the Spirit. Because the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And you know what it says here in verse 2? For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So under the old covenant, of course, this was a natural promise that they would get length of days and peace. We have in the New Testament too, we were talking about the other day, the verse of how if a man desires to love life and see good days, he needs to guard his mouth, his lips. It's a promise. But to live in the Spirit, when we're in the Spirit, it's life and peace. So when we're going through our day and, you know, battling different things and thoughts, I mean, once we lose the peace, we lose the life, our countenance changes. But if we hold fast his word, then it's a promise that we can still have that in the midst of all those things. And, you know, it can be in everyday circumstances at work, everywhere we go. It says in verse 3 here, this is something we need to remember. It says, let kindness and truth, don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Now this is the promise for us, that if we, when we're talking with people, we have kindness. When we're meeting with people, when we're having dinner, we have kindness and truth. We need the two together. You know, truth to do what's right, to do what's just. Not to turn a blind eye to something, but to hold fast to what is right, but also to maintain kindness. It's like, you know, Jesus said, grace and truth. He came with grace and truth. So kindness and truth, it's important to have that. Now, if we have kindness and truth, and we have them in our heart, it's something we seek. You know, it's something, you know, you go through day, you're like, Lord, when I spoke, or my attitude, it was not with kindness. Even today, it's like, Lord, my attitude was not good. We can sense if there's kindness in your heart, or if you don't have kindness. When you have these things, it says, verse 4, you will find favor and good repute or understanding in the sight of God and man. Read that, I was like, Lord, that's for us. We can have favor with God and man if we bind kindness and truth around our neck and hold it in our hearts. When we let go of any of those things, then we can't expect to receive that promise, to find favor with God and man. You know, it says Jesus, he grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and with man, it says, even Jesus. Why? Well, I believe he walked in kindness and truth, always. And then it follows by saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You know, when we lose kindness towards people or we don't walk in truth, likely that we're leaning on our own understanding and we're not in the mind of the Spirit. And when we're leaning on our own understanding, we're not acknowledging him first. We're not seeking God. But if when we get all those thoughts and all those the desires, and you know, when we're trusting in ourselves, this is like a self-confidence. We can, I think this especially happens when we get good at something, or we get confident in something. You can be years doing something, you can feel confident, and just like a brother shared, all of us probably have been humbled in different circumstances at work, where you do something and you get humbled by it. You say, why does the Lord, you know, allow these things? It's when we trust in our own understanding and we get confident in ourselves. We haven't acknowledged him. But if we acknowledge him, it says he'll make our paths straight. Sometimes we don't know what it looks like ahead of us. And that's when anxiety can come and fear can come. But there's something that eradicates all of the fear of what my path is going to look like, and that's trusting in God with all my heart. When I don't trust Him, sometimes it leads to discouragement. And in discouragement, sometimes we can reason in our mind and our own understanding to figure out how to escape the problem, how to get out of it. I was thinking of this example, Cain and Abel. Here's two examples of two brothers. One who is living with a renewed mind of the Spirit to please God. Right? To please God, to live by faith is what pleases God. He offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. His brother Cain, he knew he had to offer a sacrifice, but it wasn't sincere the same way as it was for his brother. It wasn't sincere. You know, probably in his work day, he was thinking about maximizing the number of crops and how to make all the produce and how to do well and get ahead. And then he had to give an offering, and so he just thought, I'll give some kind of offering, and it wasn't the best. It wasn't the first. It wasn't the same way. It wasn't the same way as his brother. And so I think he wasn't seeking first the kingdom, and I think he just kind of did it. So he knew he had to do it. And his thoughts were kind of distracted, and he was leaning in his own understanding, and his heart wasn't sincere. And in the end, God didn't regard it. There was no life and peace. He didn't hold fast what he knew, at least to what his brother knew. Cain, he disregarded that, and it didn't produce life and peace for him. It produced discouragement. His countenance fell. And when discouragement comes, sin is around the corner. It always is. It is for me. It's probably been for you. Whenever you get discouraged, sin is right there. It's the way the flesh is, because discouragement is not the mind of the Spirit. Discouragement is the mind of the flesh. And when you're in the mind of the flesh, then there's sin, more sin coming. This is why when Cain sinned like that, he wasn't seeking first the kingdom. He wasn't giving his heart to the Lord. He was going about his work, doing all these things, and then in the end, he sensed the Lord wasn't with him. It felt like the Lord was 1,000 miles away, and his countenance fell. The Lord regarded his brother's sacrifice. So he got discouraged, and he thought, the problem is, the Lord shows partiality to my brother. And he became wise in his own eyes. Look what it says right after this verse, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So when we're not trusting in the Lord, but we're leaning on our understanding, the temptation is, if we get discouraged or we get upset, we're going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to become wise in our own eyes. And I think this is what happened with Cain and how he ended up sinning, because he didn't fear the Lord and turn from evil. In fact, it caused him to go further into sin because he relied on his own understanding. And he thought, I have to deal with my brother. And so he killed his brother. He got angry. The Lord was warning him, be careful. God doesn't show partiality, but I think in Cain's mind, he was thinking, this is not fair. He was not examining his heart. He was looking outside. This is the temptation that comes for us, right? When we get discouraged, we can look at others, people, look at situations, and the Lord is showing us, why is your countenance fallen? And he's saying, look inside your heart. Why is my countenance fallen? He's saying, look inside my heart. Have I been in the mind of the Spirit? The problem was back there, Cain, when you were going about your day and you weren't really. It wasn't for me that you were doing these things. It wasn't for the glory of me. It was for the glory of self. No, but in his mind, it was his brother. God showing partiality to his brother. It's not right. It's not fair. I'm going to kill my brother. Solve it. In his own wisdom, he killed his brother, and he became a wanderer and a vagrant. And the judgment of God came upon him. And I think it was all a place where it started was that he was relying on his own thoughts and his own understanding. He wasn't searching his heart there. Because God said, if you repent, if you do well, he said, your countenance will be lifted up. It was like a promise. It was like hope. I can pull you out of this discouragement in a moment if you just turn back to me, humble yourself. In a moment I can pull you out. And it says here, let kindness and truth not leave you, bind them around your neck, write them on the top of your heart, and you will find favor with God and man. Cain lost favor with God in a moment. But God said, if you do well, he said, your countenance will be lifted up. You can find favor with me again in a moment. So this verse of trusting in the Lord and not leaning is huge. We go about our day and we don't trust him. Because it's not faith, that's why. And whatever's not from faith is sin. And if we get stuck in that place, it leads to further sin. That's why it says, look inside, don't be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, turn away from evil. It will even bring healing to your body. We know for sure spiritually. But you know when the Lord can heal us if we come down this way. He can heal our bodies, he can bring refreshment to our bones. When I was thinking of, I was really thinking of verse 7. I said, Lord, do not be wise in your own eyes. Lord, how do you guard yourself, you know, from this thing? It's so easy to become conceited and proud and become wise in your own eyes. So hard to recognize it right away, so it's in my heart. I thought of Saul when the Lord first chose him and said he was little in his own eyes. But at the end of his life, he fell right into this place. He became wise in his own eyes. It somehow it happened. But he once was there, and then he lost it. Lord, I don't want to lose that. I always want to be able to stay humble in my own eyes. How can I do that unless I ask him every day, Lord, show me today. Lord, show me. Show me where I'm wise in my own eyes, or if I'm proud, or if I'm blinded by something in my heart. Because it's clear in the scripture. You know what it says, even in, there's a proverb here, 26, chapter 26. Talks about this man who's wise in his own eyes. It's a serious thing. How serious is that? You look here in Proverbs 26, in verse 12, and it says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? It says there is more hope for a fool than for him. I mean, you only have to read the other proverbs about what it says about a fool to know it's a terrible thing. The judgments that the Bible says on a fool, but it says if a man, there's a man who's wise in his own eyes, it says there would be more hope for a fool than for that man. So, I say it's a, I see that as a danger. I see that as a place we need to ask the Lord to help us to turn from that place when we. I believe it starts when we start leaning on our own understanding. You know, let's look at an example here. Let's go to Romans in chapter 1. We can see the progression of not trusting God, of not leaning on God. I read this following this passage, and it really helped to open my eyes more clearly about when we think in ourselves we have an answer, we see things clearly, we will become wise. Let's look what it says here in Romans 1. It says, let's read verse 21. For even though they knew God, okay, we can look at the example we used here, Cain and Abel. Cain knew God, but what does it say? They did not honor him as God. God desires honor from our lives in everything we do. And the moment that we take away any of that honor, rob him from that, it grieves him. So they did not honor him. They knew God, but they didn't give him the honor he was due or give thanks. You know, it's tied right together there. When I read that, I thought, man, it's so important. God wants us to honor him every day. He wants us to give thanks to him. So you know how that happens, like uses these examples. Every day when we seek the Lord, and the Lord answers prayer, and the Lord directs our paths, it glorifies him because we can testify. That's what the Lord did. That's what the Lord has done. I was asking the Lord about these things. I didn't know how I would do it. Sought the Lord on it. And the Lord answered my prayers. And then it produces the giving of thanks. This is how we honor him. And this is how we praise, giving thanks. But it's when we lean on our own understanding, there's not going to be an honoring of the Lord, but rather probably a boasting in the flesh. So they didn't honor God, or they didn't give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. See, this is where they're leaning on their thoughts of their minds. The speculations are the things that come in our minds. So when we have empty speculations in our head, it says, our hearts become darkened. Their foolish hearts became darkened. I believe this is what happened even with Cain. He started speculating in his mind what the issue was, and he thought, this is how I will solve the problem. And so, look what it says in verse 20. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's how that's how a fool is birthed. A fool is made from a man who thinks he's wise. And it starts with a man who stops trusting in the Lord with all his heart. He starts leaning on his understanding. He stops giving honor to God. The thankfulness isn't there in his heart. He professes himself to be wise. He becomes a fool. And that is how, verse 23, we exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for the form of all these things, but let's say man. It could be self. It's talking about an image of animals, birds, but let's say the image is self. It's flesh. If I don't come to him every day and I say, oh, I can handle it, or I'm going to deal with it, I'll figure it out. We exchange the glory that we profess to be wise. We exchange that glory that God wants through trusting in him. That's how he's glorified. Taking it for ourselves. And then, you know what happens? Verse 24. Therefore, this is what God will do. He gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. I read that, I thought, Lord, when we fall into that place, when we get given over to lust and we don't know why, these things are there. And then I said, Lord, you're showing me things here. How can these things happen? I'm reading it here in Romans chapter 1. Pride comes before the fall. I'm professing to be wise in my own eyes somewhere. Maybe I'm blind to it even. But how does God show it to me? I become like a fool in the sense that he gives a man over to his lusts because he doesn't get the grace. And so this is how it happened here in Romans 1 with those who were coming to him. Just a simple thing. Didn't honor God, didn't give thanks. It came to a point where they exchanged even the truth of God for a lie. So, well, that happens. That a man could start to believe a lie rather than the truth because he wants to believe something so strongly. Because he's chosen to believe something so strongly in himself, he doesn't want to accept the truth. And he doesn't worship and serve the Lord, but rather the creature. Says. He worships and serves the creature rather than the creator. And so God gives them over to, it says, further passions and desires. Verse 28, it says, as they did not see fit to acknowledge him any longer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. But we see here, these men's paths became so crooked and so perverse that God gave them over to crookedness. Because they saw fit not to acknowledge him any longer. Just like the proverb said, it said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God, turn away from evil. Well, these men began to go further and further into evil. We see that is how the world, that's why they're so steeped in sin. Because the world doesn't know God. They don't trust God. They trust in themselves. And God gives them over. And so that they could come to a place, what's the purpose of that? I believe it's that God, they could come to a place they could see their evil. That apart from God, there's no one righteous, not one. All fall short of the glory of God. Because pride, you can be in a place of pride and not see and think, I'm not a sinner, I'm okay. But God in that place is able to humble a man, bring him to a place where he can recognize he hasn't acknowledged God. Maybe he's just to see that he's a religious man, but full of sin. And all kind of wickedness, it says here, many different things. But yet it even says that that person, verse 3, although they know the ordinance of God, it's like they have still a knowledge of God. You know, we can use the same example. Cain, he knew about God, yet he could come to the place where he could even have hate and murder and anger and all these things. It says he knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. It says they not only do the same, but give hearty approval of those who practice them. And it goes on to speak about coming to a place where we start to, we can be in this place that we can pass judgment and be guilty of committing the same sins and falling under condemnation, under God's condemnation. And it says in verse 3, do you suppose, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness, and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. It says, do you think lightly of his riches and lightly of his kindness? Professing to be wise, they became fools. They didn't honor God. They didn't give thanks. They kind of took lightly that God's mercy was, it's because of his mercy that we have life and breath. It's because of his mercy that we're, you know, we get to live and have a job, that we have this, the Lord has a specific job for each one of us. He's given a specific place to live. He's given us all certain specific things, and he desires that we honor him in all these things. We take lightly the kindness of God, and then we can end up judging others. This is when the fall happens. That's when he says, it's because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the judgment of God. This was a warning to those who were not acknowledging the Lord in their lives, becoming wise in their own eyes. They came under this, the Lord's judgment, that they would be broken, that they would rather repent. I won't read all this, but we come to chapter 3 where it says in verse 9, what then, Paul says, he's talking about all these things. He's pretty harsh, you know. He's talking to the Romans like this, and it seems like he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and how God gave the oracles to the Jews. And yet he says about them, what then? If some, verse 3, if some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true and every man be a liar, as it is written. You are mighty when you judge, that you might be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged, or when you judge. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? I think this is what Cain was thinking, you know. This is not fair. Why is God doing this to me? Why is he doing this to me? Does that make God unrighteous? Never. God's judgments are perfect. As our brother said, he disciplines us perfectly when he brings discipline in my life. If I start to think this is not fair, it's a dangerous place. The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? Never, Paul said. Never is he. For otherwise, how will God judge the world? For if through my lie the truth of God abounded to his glory, why am I being still judged as a sinner? Why not say, as we are slanderously reported, as and some say even, let us do evil that good may come? He said, their condemnation is just. What then? He says, are we better than they? He said, not at all. It's not because we're better. He recognized only the mercy and the grace of God. In fact, he said, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. He said, there's no one righteous, not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. How do you stay little in your own eyes? I think Paul could still have confidence that it was by the mercy and the grace of God that he stood in the grace of, in his grace, but yet he recognized there's no distinction, there's no partiality between Jew and Greek, and that there's no one righteous before God. He knew that our righteousness is filthy rags before God. He knew himself, there's no one who seeks God, not even one. All have turned aside. There's not one who does good. There's no righteousness in our flesh, nothing. It comes out of our mouths, he said. It comes out of our tongues. It comes out of our lips. It comes out with cursing and bitterness. Our feet are quick to sin. We go and do things. Destruction, misery are in their paths. The path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Do not be wise in your eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil, it says. But we know that God's righteous judgments come through his word from the law for one purpose. It says in verse 19, that every mouth may be closed when God humbles us and disciplines us to show us, you know, some pride in the heart or somewhere where I've been wise in my own eyes. He does it. Some of those things we don't understand, he does it to silence our mouths. That's what he says here. Paul says, let God be true, every man a liar. Why does he inflict wrath? Why does he do these things? Because he's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us the things that are in our heart that are sin against him. So when he does these things, he does it that every mouth may be closed and the whole world may become accountable to God. There's no one who's going to be able to point the finger and say, it's because of this. That's why. There is no excuse for Cain. There's no excuse. He said his punishment was too great, but it was perfect. And God disciplines us perfectly so that we become accountable to Him and can humble ourselves and receive His discipline and grow. It says, because, verse 20, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So it brings us back to the place where Romans 4, verse 5. It's not the one who does work, but to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteous. The little place where the Lord brings us, humbles us, shows us the things of our heart, we recognize our righteousness as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do. We can't fix our problems. We have to humble ourselves, trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean on our understanding, and believe in Him. Because the root of all sin, I'm convinced, is unbelief. If we always believed in Him, if we always trusted in Him, He would give us the Spirit. He would give us grace. It says that we get access to grace through faith. But it's when we don't believe, it's when we get discouraged because we don't believe. That's when we sin. That's when we trust in ourselves. We need our understanding. We do our own works. And God says, sees it as robbing Him of His glory. That's how He sees it. But God can take an ungodly man and justify him the moment he acknowledges he's a sinner and says, you're my righteousness. He believes in God, that God is the reward of those who seek Him. That's when God takes man's sin and wipes it clean. The moment we believe, we say, Lord, I've sinned. I can't do anything. I was sharing this on the Sunday. This is how Jesus lived. John 5, just finished with this verse. Some of you guys already heard this, but this verse encouraged me because I shared this with another brother too. If we could live like this, look at Jesus. He had all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding because He had the Holy Spirit. He had all these things, yet He said this in John 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in that manner. I only do what my dad tells me to do. Imagine living that way. I just do what my dad tells me to do. I don't do anything else. That's someone who's little in their own eyes. That's someone he's not wise in his eyes. I can handle it, Dad. And I got this one. Jesus said, I can do nothing except what my Father, He's this looking to His Father every day. Lord, what do You want me to do today? Do You want me to do this? No? Okay. I won't speak. I won't do it. I see this example, and this has been my prayers. Lord, I want to live like that. I want to have the faith to live like that, like Jesus did. I can do nothing except for what the Lord shows me, and if I don't have an answer, I'll wait. You know, sometimes we get hasty. Waiting, it's like Saul, right? He didn't get an answer. He waited 7 days. It's not happening. He took matters in his own hand. He leaned on his own understanding. He took that iPod or whatever he took there and made an offering because the people were getting out of control and he couldn't wait for the prophet to come. And it was a test for him to see if he would do something on his own initiative or if he would rely on the Lord. And I think it's a big test, and it's in simple things every day for every one of us. It's simple things. Are we trusting in Jesus? Are we trusting in ourselves? It dictates the course of our life. It takes whether we stumble in sin or whether we get life and peace. So this is the hope that we have is we can see Jesus, how He lived, and we can follow in His footsteps and get grace.